Good morning, everybody. If you have a Bible, let's grab it and begin turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A few weeks ago, we began a brand new series out of the book of 1 Corinthians called Keep the Mission High. The whole idea is that God is calling each one of us to live in a way that keeps the mission of the church high in our lives. You see, when you and I live the way that God wants us to live, it overflows in a positive way to the whole church. On the flip side of that, when we're not walking with the Lord, when we're living in sin, it also negatively affects the people around us in the church. And so here's what you got to understand. Everybody matters. Now, as we have already discussed in this series, it is evident that this church in ancient Corinth is a church walking through a lot of different issues. And what Paul pointed out in the beginning of the book is that they've become divided and they've begun taking sides as to which Christian leader they're going to follow. They say, well, I follow this guy, I follow that guy, well, I follow this guy. Our passage today dives a level deeper into the various levels of division in this church. One of the other reasons that they are divided is because of unforgiveness towards one another in their relationships. Now, some of these relationships are so bad that they are actually suing one another within the church, okay? Again, let's just remind ourselves how messed up this early church in Corinth really was. They're divided, they are living in sexual immorality, they've become numb to sin, and now they are suing one another. All of these things have diverted their attention away from reaching people in Corinth. And Paul is basically having to go in and clean up the church so that they can again become effective for the gospel. Now, at this point is where it really becomes personal to your own life. If you're harboring unforgiveness and bitterness towards other people in your life, you'll never be what God wants you to be. Let me say that to you again. If you are harboring unforgiveness and bitterness towards other people in your life, you'll never ultimately be what God wants you to be. You see, unforgiveness is like a disease that takes over the body. What starts in one area begins to affect all areas if it's not dealt with. And unforgiveness often becomes the root of many other sins. Now, I want you to get this statement down because we're going to talk a lot about this today. And here's what it is, that unforgiveness personally locks down the mission corporately. Let me say that to you again. Unforgiveness personally locks down the mission corporately. You see, because these Corinthian believers were so wrapped up in unforgiveness personally, it ultimately hindered the work of the church corporately. It's kind of hard to be focused on the Great Commission when you're consumed with getting even with one another. You see, here's the great thing that God has given us. God gives us lawyers in our community. He gives us judges to ensure that justice is taking place in our city. Our church is full of godly people who give their lives in serving other people in this manner. I believe what Paul would say here, what his point is ultimately being here, is that God has also given us the church that should be an aid in resolving some of these in-house conflicts. And so today, our passage is going to point its arrow directly at our own hearts and serve as a guide towards handling issues with one another. Before our teaching pastors dive into this passage, I just want us to bow together and pray right now. Lord Jesus, would you now use the word of God to speak to our lives in a very direct manner about if we are holding and harboring any unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness in our own lives today? And God, I pray that you would help us to move past all of that and move into a place of forgiveness. It's in the power of the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
We're talking about keeping the mission high. You know, our church has gone through a transition. We're kind of on the other side of it, but things are still fresh and new. And one of the things that we absolutely want to do is make sure we don't get distracted as a church. Amen. We want to keep the mission high. We do not want to give Satan a foothold to divide us in any way whatsoever. So what we're trying to do is learn from a church that had a lot of issues, related to division. And as Nick said on the video, we're going to go to a different layer today, a different level of depth today. And I'm going to give you a warning about 1 Corinthians 6 as we kind of approach it. This is one of those passages where nobody in the room is going to get a pass. This is going to speak in a very real-time kind of way to each and every one of us today. So the question today really becomes this. Are you ready and are you willing to put yourself under the authority of God's word in your life? So that's a really simple yes or no question, right? The decision may not be simple, because that can get kind of scary when you think, okay, what's God going to say to me today? Well, he's going to say what he said for 2,000 years. It's been in this book waiting for you to read it and to understand it, and that's what we're going to get into today. But the question is, are you ready and are you willing to do that? And if you're ready and willing to do that, then you would say very simply this kind of prayer to the Lord. And you can say it right now, kind of just with your eyes open while you're looking at me, but you can say it to the Lord right now. And it's a very simple prayer. The prayer goes like this. Speak, Lord, and I will obey. Speak, Lord, and I will obey. That is a gutsy prayer, especially related to this message and this text today. So if you're ready, let's get into the text. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. I'm going to start off by reading verses 1 through 3. We're going to take it in a few chunks here, but if you're ready, let's go. This is a letter to a real church, because we're a real church, right? So this letter was written 2,000 years ago by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here's what Paul says to this church. He says, when one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? So there's a lot there, but what really jumps out at me is that very first phrase. I want to focus on that first phrase to get us out of the gate this morning. Look back again with me at that first phrase. It says this. Paul says, when one of you has a grievance against another. So notice the choice of his words. He says, when this happens. Not if. When. What that tells me is this. Listen, it is inevitable. At some point, you're going to have a run-in, a conflict. You're going to bump heads with somebody. And by the way, he's talking to the church. So he's not talking about people out there. He's talking to us in here. So you know what? Listen, church, he's talking about how church happens. We are a church. And guess what that means? A church is not a building. A church is not a location. And church doesn't just happen at a certain time once a week. The church, it's us. It's people. And here's the thing. People are messy. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. If you came here and you joined Cross Church, or if you're visiting Cross Church because you're looking for a perfect church, then you are going to be sadly disappointed. Now, I think we're a pretty good church. I think we got a lot of great things in line. I think we're doing really, really, really well. But listen, we're not perfect, because we're made up of people. And we all have a story. We all have baggage. We all have different personalities. We all like different kinds of things. And it's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. You are going to have a conflict with the church or in the church. It's going to happen. And so Paul's going to talk about that. What happens when Christians bump into other Christians? And he says, what happens when you have a grievance? So what does that mean, grievance? Well, very simply, it means when you've been hurt. What do you do when another Christian hurts you? Now, that could be like something personal. It could be something related to your family. It could be financial. It could be something to do with words that are spoken, or it could be actual actions that are spoken. Listen. We're a big church, lots of people. I mean, at some point, you're going to run into somebody. At some point, you're going to say something about somebody and realize it's somebody else's cousin, because we live in Arkansas, you know? I mean, that's just kind of like how it works. And then you stepped in it, right? So what happens? Now, in Corinth, they weren't dealing with this very well. It was happening to them, and they weren't dealing with it. There's all kinds of ways that we respond to hurting one another. Sometimes we just say, you know what? I'm done with them. I'm going to cut them off. I'm just going to cut them off. I don't need them in my life. Even though I go to church with them and I worship Jesus, you know, 20 feet from them every week, I'm just going to cut them off. thinking that can actually happen. You know, we have a big church, and sometimes we kind of run to that, and we're like, okay, we have a big church. We're four campuses. We got 10 worship services. So I've got plenty of other people I can be friends with. I don't need that person anymore. But it doesn't work that way. I mean, it's a small world we live in, folks. Like just a few weeks ago, Julie and I, we went for a couple of days up to Branson just to get away. We found a really neat bed and breakfast that we went to. Fantastic place. If you want to know about it, I'll tell you about it later. But really a great place. And so, you know, people from all over the country come to Branson, right? So there's just all kinds of people that I've never been around and you've never been around. And we're just, in one day, in a 24-hour period, we're talking to this one couple. And come to find out, they're visiting from Utah. From Utah, but not just from Utah. They're from this little bitty town right down the road from the high school that I graduated from. And so we start talking about all these connections that we have. Then like for breakfast one morning, we met this other couple. Where are you from? Well, we're from Springdale. Where are you from? We're from Neosho. Oh, really? We happen to have a campus in Neosho, Missouri. And come to find out, they know Andrew Schaefer, who was our worship pastor there, who's now our associate at Springdale. They know Andrew, Brad. And they don't just know Andrew. They watched him grow up. Oh, yeah, we know Andrew. We watched him grow up. And there's like this crazy connection with one of our worship pastors with this couple I've never met. And then we start talking to the owners of the bed and breakfast, and they're like, well, you know, they want to know where their guests are from, and where are you guys from? Well, we're from Springdale, Arkansas, and that's where our home is, and they said, oh, yeah, well, our daughter's close to there from this little town that you probably never heard of called Johnson, Arkansas. And I'm like, well, actually, I live in Johnson, but I don't tell people that because nobody knows where Johnson is. Come to find out that their daughter literally lives off of Carly Road, like two blocks from my house. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is a small world that we live in. And you think you're going to hide from somebody in this church? It doesn't work that way. But we try. We're just like I'm going to cut someone off, or I'm going to. Here's what we do too. Sometimes we cross over and we're like, you know, they wronged me, and so I'm going to get them back. I'm just going to get back at them, and that goes all kinds of ways. Maybe I'm going to talk behind their back. I'm going to say something on Facebook. I'm going to make sure when I see them that they know that I see them, so that I can look at them and then walk away, and they know that I walked away, and they can just know. Or there's all kinds of weird, crazy things that we try to do to like stick it at each other, just to get back, to get our revenge, to like turn the knife. And in this church in Corinth, they had actually started suing one another. So disagreement within the body, Christians, and they've gone outside the body to the legal system, and they started suing one another. And Paul's looking at this, and he can't believe it. And the root issue of all of it is unforgiveness. Let's not get so in the weeds on this that we miss the root issue. The root is unforgiveness. And Paul is looking at this going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if you go back and reread the first three verses, you get a pretty quick sense of his tone. You know, he can't believe that Christians are acting this way towards other Christians. And here's the deal. Lost people watch all this. They see all this, man. Don't think that your unforgiveness and your bitterness is hidden, because it's not. It's just not. What Paul's going to do here, and he does this in verses 2 and 3, he's going to kind of do a perspective shift on them. I call this Paul's eternal perspective for our temporal benefit. That's what I call these two verses. So what Paul's wanting to try to tell us is that, listen, you understand that everything here is temporary. You understand that all of this is temporary, right? And that there's really another way we can look at all that. You know, sometimes it's helpful to change our perspective. That if you can just get a different perspective, all of a sudden your priorities kind of fall in line in a different kind of way. Have you ever had that one of those moments before? About 2 months ago, I had attended a meeting up here at Pinnacle Hills Campus. I think Buster and I were having a meeting. And most days, I move pretty quick. The way I'm wired, I just walk fast. I talk. People tell me I preach too fast. But if you want to be here till 12:30, I can slow down. Anyway, I talk fast. I walk fast. I try not to drive fast. But I just tend to kind of move pretty quickly. And so, you know, my main office is in Springdale, and I had come up here one day to attend a meeting, and I needed to get back to Springdale, and I was thinking about, you know, how I had to get back, and I jumped in my car, and I took off down I-49, and I had made it to just about the Wagon Wheel exit, And I looked in my rearview mirror. I looked up in my rearview mirror, and about maybe 200 yards behind me, I saw a semi-truck clip the rear end of a little bitty car, spun the car completely around. Car came to a stop right in the middle lane. I'm just looking at this. I mean, I'm like frozen. I'm driving, looking at this, hoping, praying nobody hits that car. The truck jerked and just like went all the way over and hit that concrete barrier that they put up in the median and just hit it hard, man, and smoke and tire tracks went everywhere. And I'm looking at all this, and I can't believe what I'm seeing. And thankfully, everyone was okay. Didn't get worse than that. But boy, you talk about a perspective shift just like that. And all I could think of was, you know, how many seconds does it take for a car moving 70 miles an hour to close the distance of 200 yards? And if I had just left here like 2 seconds later and jumped on the on-ramp, you see where your mind goes? And at that point, all of a sudden, whatever meeting I was headed towards at Springdale just didn't quite have the same oomph that it did. And I just became really glad that I was able to go home that night and hug my wife and tell my kids I love them. It's called a perspective shift. You know what I'm talking about? And so Paul does that here. He's like, man, you guys are tearing each other apart. You need a perspective shift. And what he says is extremely profound. And he's speaking to us from the past here. He says, don't you know that there's going to come a day when you, all of us, if you carry the banner of Christ, we are all men and women one day going to rule the earth with Jesus. We're going to rule and judge. We're going to act as judges over the earth with Jesus. And what he's talking about is the future millennial kingdom. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation. There's going to come a 1,000-year period of time in the future when Jesus is going to return. And hey, listen, Jesus is returning in case you hadn't heard the news. All right? He's coming back, and he's going to set up shop in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule the earth for 1,000 years, and we are going to be tapped by him to rule and judge the matters of the earth. And he's like, hey, if you are equipped and you are expected to rule over and judge the earth in the future, don't you think that you've got what it takes inside of you to settle your trivial cases internally? And by the way, that's exactly what he calls them, trivial cases. So I know that it's a big deal to you. I know that whatever wrong you have suffered from someone in the church is a big deal, and it's got you all twisted up inside, and maybe you've lost sleep over it, and maybe you've even harbored it for weeks or months. And the way this deal works, unforgiveness works, it can actually set inside of you, and you can like live with it for even decades, and that might be the case with some of you. And so it's like a big, big deal. It might even involve money. It might involve you losing money. So it's like a big deal to you, but what Paul is saying is, hey, buddy, whatever big deal it is to you, to God, whatever your big deal is, it's trivial. Amen. To God, it's like that. So change your perspective, man. You're going to judge angels one day. Don't you think you've got what it takes to settle these matters internally now? I mean, get a clue. John MacArthur, great Bible teacher, John MacArthur, I'll put this on the screen. He says it like this. Christians are more than qualified with the truth, the spirit, the gifts, and the resources that they presently have in him to settle small matters that come up among themselves in this present life. Now listen, are there issues and cases that go beyond what we can do internally? Yes, there are, as Nick said. And we have a legal system, and we have, by the way, godly Christian legal counsel. But let me tell you the principle that we operate off of. Here's the principle we operate, and this is something you can operate off of. You ready? Here's the principle. Whenever there's conflict, godly counsel before legal counsel. Godly counsel before legal counsel. Live by that principle. And let me just tell you how this kind of fleshes out in our church, Cross Church. Because listen, We are a big church. There's lots of people, and there's a lot of this bumping into each other that goes on. And so as the leadership of the church, we get pulled into some of that. And we're glad to be pulled in that. We want to be helpful. We want to help folks that are struggling with one another. So it could be two parties in the church. It could be two individuals. Sometimes it's the marriage relationship, a husband and a wife, and there's conflict. And we deal with all kinds of conflict amongst the brethren in our church. And I will tell you that about 95% of the time, we're able to settle it internally to the glory of God. We are able to do that. About 90, that's a pretty good percentage, by the way. I mean, it really is. We're able to kind of cut through it. Now about 5% of the time, we recognize that there's a situation that goes beyond what we can do, and we know our limits. And there is good Christian legal counsel that we can help people to steer them towards. But the issue, listen, the issue for us, it's never an issue of what does the Bible say? We know what the Bible is directing us towards. The issue always, always, always becomes, am I willing to put myself under the authority of the Word of God and to sacrifice what the Word of God is calling me to? That's the issue. When there's unresolved conflict, it's almost always somebody not wanting to put themselves under the Word of God and to sacrifice personally what the Word of God is calling them to. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 4 says this. If you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Can it be that there's no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. I'll tell you this too. When we see people lay down their personal issues, put themselves under the authority of God's word, sacrifice themselves, and they do it to the glory of God, I'm just telling you, man, the victory that we see in people's lives and the testimony of that victory, it is amazing. It's astounding. And you talk about the Great Commission going up. I mean, listen, like I said, people watch us. They're watching us. And if we're tearing each other apart, if we're biting each other in the back, if we're twisting the knife, if we're bitter, if we can't let a grudge go, if we're talking behind one another's backs, do you think anybody out there wants anything in here? But man, when they see us navigate real conflict and surrender that to the Lord and come out on top of that, experiencing the victory that you can only get through Christ, that accelerates the Great Commission, because people see that also. And they're like, man, you guys at Cross Church are different. It's a different kind of church. I could use a little bit of that kind of like dynamic in my life. And so the Great Commission goes up. You know, Nick said on the screen that kind of the point of the message is this, is that unforgiveness will personally lock you down, and it locks down the mission corporately. And the converse of that is also true. Forgiveness. When you forgive, forgiveness, it personally surges and accelerates forward the mission opportunity. Let's continue on, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves, you wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Let me tell you what Paul is saying here. And do not miss this. This is the heart of it all. What Paul is saying here is that there's one thing that's more important than your being right. There's one thing that's more important, preeminently more important than you being right. And that one thing, it's relationship. It's relationship. Are you willing to sacrifice the relationship just so you can be right. Let's do another perspective moment real quick. Just another quick perspective moment. Why did Jesus do it? You say, what, Jeff? I mean, all of it. Why did Jesus do it? Why did he leave there and come here and endure all of us and the cross? What, you ever asked yourself, why did he do it? I mean, if it was a matter of who's right and who's wrong, listen, you lose every time, man. We have all offended God. We have all been born from the womb. We come out sinful. It's called original sin. We come out and our very lives are built upon selfishness and upon offense of God. We all are that way. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if it's about who's right and who's wrong and drawing that kind of line, then he never would have done it. If it was about, you know, avoiding hurt and avoiding pain, then there never would have been a manger scene and there never would have been Christmas Day. Because you know, you remember when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's like, Father, and he's under such intense burden that he's sweating drops of blood. Blood is coming out of his skin. It's a condition called hematidrosis, where the blood just comes through. And he's saying, God, if there's any way, if there's any other way that this cup can pass from me, let it be, because it's going to hurt, it's going to be painful, it's going to be so bad, but there was no other way. And why did he endure the hurt? Why did he endure the pain? Why did he let all of your wrongs be heaped upon him for judgment? And I'll tell you why he did it. Because being right was not as important to Jesus as his relationship with you. He did it for the relationship, man. He did it for you because he wanted to be with you. And I got to tell you, I've never known of a forgiveness like that. In 1984, I found it. I found that kind of forgiveness. It changed my life. I wonder, in a room this size, and even those of you watching at home, because we got a lot of people who watch on the road during summer and all that, have you experienced that kind of forgiveness? Because if you never have, you can. Right now. There is no barrier. Everything that needed to be done has been done. It was done 2,000 years ago. All you got to do is say yes to Jesus. But here's the deal about forgiveness, and I've discovered this. Forgiveness is kind of a two-way street. Somebody has to forgive, and Jesus has done that. He is ready to forgive you of every offense in your background. But forgiveness has to also be received. And I've just come to believe that what keeps some people from experiencing forgiveness is they just don't believe they can be forgiven. They just believe that there's no way that God could forgive me. That what I've done in my life can be forgiven. And so they just are held back from enjoying the forgiveness of God. But I'm here to tell you, yes, you are forgiven. You can be forgiven. It has all been done for you, man. But you have to receive it. You have to believe it. So I just want to do that right now. Matter of fact, would you just bow your head? Let's just do this this way. Nobody looking. I'm not done preaching, but this is a moment that I don't want to let slip by. As fast as I move, I need to slow down sometimes, and this is probably one of those times. If you have never asked Jesus to forgive you because you didn't believe it could happen, or you didn't want it to happen, but you're ready now, and you've just got enough of a spark of hope in you to believe that he really could forgive you, then here's what you need to do. You need to pray this prayer, and you can do it right now in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I don't deserve it, but thank you anyway. And Jesus, thank you for giving your life to me. And I am ready now to give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time in your whole life, then I want to say welcome to the family of God, okay? And I want to encourage you, greatly encourage you, when we have our invitation, that you come to the front and grab the hand of one of our ministers and you tell them that you prayed that prayer. And we're not going to embarrass you, pull you up here on stage. We're not going to do any of that. We will pray with you and celebrate with you because your life just changed. You now have what's called the gift of eternal life. But here's for the rest of us now, here's how this plays out. This forgiveness that we receive, what we are expected to do is take that and extend it to one another. As we live our lives in the church and in life, and we bump into one another, and we offend one another, and we hurt one another, we are expected to do for others what Jesus has done for us. And that works its way out in the brother-brother like relationship. It works its way out in the parent-child relationship because sometimes that can become strained. It works its way out in the husband-wife dynamic because you know that can become strained. And by the way, let me just say as it relates to husband and wife, it is way better to be happy than to be right. Amen? You just lay it down. You lay it down. And so with that said, I want to end today, kind of steer this towards the end, with what I want to call the anti-question for 2019. Paul gives us the anti-question for the times in which we live. And here is the anti-question. Are you ready? This will push you. Why not suffer wrong? Why not? Why not just take it? And why not rather be defrauded? Do you see how this goes against the grain of everything in our culture today? Because in our culture today, if the airline industry, if Delta gets my plane late, I'm going to light them up on Twitter and everybody's going to know about it. And if I go down here to some restaurant and they get my order wrong, my Yelp review will be the end of them. And if my kid's teacher does something at school that I don't like, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to get all snarky and I'm going to make their life miserable in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, people watch, man. And that, let me tell you something, everything I just said, that is the world we live in today. And Christians are expected to be different. We're expected to live the anti-life to all of that. Why not endure the suffering, man? You say, Jeff, it's involved. You don't understand. There's some money involved in this transaction that's going on. Why not be defrauded? That'll push you. Because relationship always, always, always trumps you being right. Always. Here's a deep thought for you. Here's a deep thought. Revenge can make us do a lot of stupid things that in the end don't accomplish revenge. But the supernatural response is, you know what? I'm willing to let you off the hook on this one. I'm willing to take the hit on this one. I'm willing to take the hurt on this one. I'm willing to take the loss on this one. I'm willing to deal with it personally so that the mission of God can continue at a high level. I'll take it for this one. That's the supernatural answer. You say, Jeff, how do we get there? Let me give you three quick, and then this is quick, three quick steps. Would not be a sermon if there weren't some steps involved, right? Three quick steps. Three steps to 1 Corinthians 6 obedience. I'll have our worship team come because we really are about done. Step number one, identify who hurt me. Identify who hurt me. So, you know, during this entire message that I've been preaching, it would not surprise me at all. Matter of fact, I would be surprised if this weren't the case. If there weren't in your mind of many, many, many of you, a face and a name of someone who has done you wrong. And it could have been today that it happened. It could have been something you saw on Facebook last week. It could have been something that happened last year. And as I said, this could have happened 10 years ago because there is no statute of limitations on bitterness and pain. So number one, identify who it was that hurt you. Step number two, and this is the hard one, willingly choose forgiveness. And it's a choice. It will not happen automatically. And you're sitting there going, oh, Jeff, man, you don't know, bro. I mean, you don't know what this person has done to me repeatedly. You just don't know. I don't know how to get there. So if you're stuck, if you hit that barrier, I'm going to help you break through the barrier. Here's how you break through the barrier. You ready? Thank Jesus. Think Jesus. If Jesus can forgive you of all of your junk, then you can do the same for someone else. Just think Jesus. Let the perspective shift on you. And then step number three, here it is, last one. Prayerfully make restitution. You say, what does that look like? Well, this is where I can't help you too much because it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. For some of you, that means that you go to the person and you say to them, will you forgive me? I need you to forgive me. For some of you, it means that you need to go to whoever and you need to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Well, you're going, wait a minute. You mean I'm the one that has to do both sides of this deal? Yes. You have to do the forgiving and you have to do the asking. For some of you, it just means you just deal with it personally. You just gotta, it's not like a public thing. It's just in your heart and no one has ever known about it. And you're just going to have to like, and today is a great opportunity, man. You come to the altar and just lay it here and leave it. Leave it here. Just leave your bitterness and your unforgiveness here. Just and move on, man. Move on. And some of you, there might be something tangible that needs to happen to fix things. There might need to be something tangible that needs to be worked out. And some of you, it might mean that you need to get the church to help you. Get somebody in your small group to help you. Somebody you trust to enter in and just kind of help you fix it. That's a godly thing to do. But the point is this, and this is the action of the day. We don't need to be walking out of here with unforgiveness in our hearts. That will shut this church down. It'll divide this church. We don't want to be any of that. We want to live and work and just cruise through all that. So with that said, every head bowed, every eye closed. The invitation is clear. Man, if you asked Jesus to come into your heart a few moments ago, I want to encourage you as soon as I say amen from praying and we start to stand and your knees start to straighten out, that you just jump out into that aisle and you come down here and you grab the hand of one of our ministers and you just tell them, I said yes to Jesus. I prayed the prayer and we're going to pray with you and then we'll send you back. If you need to come today, oh man, you know, if you just need to come today and lay a burden of unforgiveness here upon this altar. Maybe there's something you're struggling with. Maybe you're privy to a relationship in the church that's not right, and you know about it, and you're burdened for it, and you want to come pray over that. If you want a minister to pray with you about any of this, that's available. But this is a time for you to do business with God. Father in heaven, would your will be done right now? We put ourselves under the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.